wants to talk to you. My pleasure. I said, Frank, if you could walk over, I know you're busy with these people, and just say hi, Don, it would help me a lot. He said, it's done, but don't come right away. And so I went back to the table. She said, what happened? Oh, I just chatted with them, sweetheart, don't worry. And we had another, to you, my darling, I had another drink, and boom. And with that, Sinatra walked over, and the violins are playing, and he walked over and he said, Don, how are you? It's your old buddy, Frank Sinatra. And I went, not now, Frank. Can't you see I'm with somebody? And I stood up and did that loud, and the whole lounge stopped. The violin stopped. The waitresses stopped. Everything stopped. And the girl went into sugar shock. It resulted in good things for me.
I love that story. Also in the book, you talk about your days working the nightclubs in Miami Beach. And you describe a nightclub where you say they actually had rocking chairs in the audience.
Yeah, and surprisingly enough, when I say that, when I perform, I talk about it, and I say they had rocking chairs, and the audience would laugh. And I said, well, the punchline is, it was the fact. It wasn't something that they made fun of. It was that was the theme of the club. Everybody sat in rocking chairs, and it sat about 100 people in rocking chairs. It was a great idea, and people got a kick out of it. And, of course, they had a big round bar, plus the customers sat in rocking chairs. And it was called Murray Franklin's, and that's where I worked at my very beginnings in Florida.
What was that like to perform? I mean, when people were restless, if you weren't going over well, did they rock more? Or
Dave, I never went over bad, Dave. Snap out of it, Dave. I never was lousy. The audience might be lousy, but I was never lousy. It was very intimate, just almost like sitting in your house. And we had fun that way.
And then, of course, you had Frank Sinatra come to see you when he pretty much ran not only Miami, but the world. And in the book, you credit your mom with making that connection. How did she do that?
Well, my mother was sort of a Jew Patton, as I said in the book. She was a very strong-minded lady and American-born in the sense that she knew what was going on. And Dolly Sinatra lived in the Fontainebleau at the time. That was a very major hotel. And my mother said, I want to get Sinatra to see you. I said, Ma, take it easy. She said, don't worry, dear. I know what to do. And she went up to Dolly Sinatra's house, apartment in the Fontainebleau, and said, Dolly, darling, because she knew Dolly, as I did. And she said, Dolly, would you get to see, she called me my sonny boy, would you get Frank to see my sonny boy, Don, and Murray Frank? And she said, Edda, it's done. It's done, darling. Don't worry. And sure enough, a few days later, in walked Frank with an army of people, and that was the beginning of our friendship.
And I know this is a familiar story, but one more I can't resist hearing as you tell it. What you said to Frank Sinatra from the stage when he was watching you perform that basically launched your career into a different level.
Well, for some reason, the press picked up on it right away and got all over Miami. I said, Frank, stand up, be yourself, hit somebody. And nobody ever talked to Frank like that. And in my style, which I take pride in, when I perform, I have a funny attitude, which is very important. And thank God, he laughed like crazy. And the guys with him went, Frank, we find that funny. Had they not, I would have been on the Jerry Lewis telethon.
When you were starting out as a stand-up comic, did you make a conscious decision not to work blue, or was that just the tenor of the times?
It was just never in my personality to do it. I never used any son of a bee is my biggest word on stage. I've never done that. And I don't know. People said, well, Rickles doesn't do that. And I really don't to this very day. I mean, you could take a young guy and see my show, and it's not something that they're going to say, oh, my God. I've never gone to that. Just it wasn't planned. It was just in my personality that I never thought of doing it that way.
You're widely known as an insult comic, but you don't even like that term.
And, no, I don't.
And why not? And what description suits you best?
Well, because people that don't know me, that have never seen me, think insult is somebody that's rude and mean. And I'm not mean-spirited, and I'm not rude. I have an attitude that's different than, I think, than anybody else. I know if somebody else tries what I do, I don't think that success will be very, very easy for them. I just happen to have a knack to be able to make fun of people without telling a joke and without hurting them. I don't think, again, though, on the other side of the coin, I don't think there's an entertainer in the world, a comedian especially, that somebody says, I don't like him. You can't, when you sell yourself, you can't win over everybody, mm-hmm. but you try to get the majority. And I've been blessed to be this far along at 81 years to headline to this very day, which I'm very proud of.
And are there things in your act that were okay for you to say decades ago in terms of the ethnic jokes that you make?